And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
It's not fair. She has no experience whatsoever. I've been there forever. What does she have that I don't? Why doesn't anyone listen to me?
Maybe because you're talking to yourself.
Who said that?
Only me, Trent. I'm under the table in the next booth over.
Mr. Walton, what were you doing under there?
I'm cleaning. And if you want to talk about unfair, tell me why people put their gum under someone else's table.
Did you hear everything I said?
Yeah, every word. Who are you talking about? Sounds interesting.
Never mind. I don't want to say.
Okay, fine. You go back to talking to the coroner, and I'll go back to peeling gum. Excuse me.
It's just that Ashley Jenkins gets everything.
I'm glad you're not telling me. All right, spill it. Spill it.
Okay. I've been on the student council for a year now.
The student council? Oh, I'm impressed. I didn't know that was your kind of thing. All those hands to shake, backs to scratch.
That's the problem. I'm not into that kind of thing.
I don't get you.
Today we had an election and Ashley Jenkins beat me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then that's why you're mad.
Yeah. The only reason she won is because she's more popular than I am.
I see.
But I should have won. I know way more about student government. And I'm always suggesting ideas for how to make the school better.
Well, I get the idea.
And Ashley doesn't do any of that. Ashley wins the office. Ashley gets her name in the paper. I'm the one who deserves it.
Uh-huh. So Ashley's got everything you used to have.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. But it kind of reminds me of someone I know.
You know someone else who lost a student council election?
No, not exactly. It was more like a kingdom.
A kingdom?
Mm-hmm. Ever heard of Saul?
Sure, he later became Paul.
Wrong testament. Oh. This is Saul from 1 Samuel. You want to hear his story?
Will it make me feel better?
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay. It's better than nothing, I guess.
Sure. Better than talking to the coroner, anyway. Now, let's see. It all started in the days of the judges of the nation of Israel. Saul was a handsome young man, head and shoulders taller than anyone in the land. Now, on this particular day, Saul was out in the desert with one of his servants.
We've been looking for these donkeys for 3 days, Abner. I think it's time to turn back.
But we've come so far. We should at least look over the next hill, Saul.
Well, that's what we said about the last hill, and the hill before that. Let's not waste any more time. By now, my father will be more worried about us than he was about the donkeys.
Wait a minute.
What?
Look there. If I'm not mistaken, that's the town of Ramah.
So it is.
Well, that is where the prophet Samuel lives. Maybe he can tell us where to find the donkeys.
Well...
There's no way we'd make it back home tonight anyway.
Let's try it, but make it quick.
So, the two of them went to talk to Samuel. Well, just as they got to the edge of town, they saw an old man.
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell us where to find Samuel, the one they call a prophet?
I am Samuel. I have been waiting for you.
You have? But how...
Come with me. We'll eat, and in the morning, I will tell you all that is on your heart.
But, sir, we came to ask you about...
The donkeys you lost 3 days ago. Don't worry about them. They have been found.
How did Samuel know all this stuff?
Well, funny thing. God had told him, and that wasn't all.
I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all of Israel's hopes.
Me? You must be talking about someone else. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel. And my family is the least important of all the families in the tribe.
I know, but the Lord your God has told me.
But I'm a nobody. There must be some sort of mistake.
Tell that to God. You are the one he wants.
But I'm not. I'm just...
What's the matter with Saul? Why is he arguing?
Well, he was afraid. He knew that when God asked you to do something, it was usually something big. The next morning, when it was time for Saul and the servant to leave...
I have a message for you from God.
What is it?
Saul, son of Kish, with this flask of oil, I anoint you leader over his people, Israel. You are to be their first king. You will reign over them and save them from their enemies.
He poured oil on him? What about a crown?
Oil first, crown later.
Sounds disgusting.
It was a big deal to be anointed by a prophet. It signified God's blessing.
That's cool.
Saul didn't think so, especially when he had his first test as king.
A test? Did he have to study for it?
Not sure how you study for an attack.
A what?
The Ammonites marched up to attack the Israelite city of Jabesh. The people there knew they were outnumbered, so they tried to cut a deal.
Please make a treaty with us, O great King Nahash of Ammon. We don't want our people to die.
What will you give me in return?
We have discussed it, and we will all agree to be your servants.
But that's not enough.
What else could we give you?
I have it. I will spare all of your lives if...
If what?
If I gouge out the right eye of every one of you.
What?
You will be a disgrace to all Israel and the sign of the might of King Nahash.
Well, can you give us some time to think it over?
You die or lose your eyes. What is there to think about?
Please, O Great One, we must discuss it as a community.
Very well.
You have 7 days.
Why would he want to, you know...
Take out their eyes?
Yeah.
Well, like he said, it would show his power over them. And it was also insurance. If they couldn't see, they wouldn't be able to shoot a bow and arrow and fight against him.
Why did he give them a week?
Why do people stick gum under the table when there's a trash can right there? How am I supposed to know?
All right, what happened? Did they agree?
They used the 7 days to send out messengers to all Israel asking for someone to rescue them before the time was up. The messengers reached Saul's hometown just before he came in from working the fields.
He was their king and he was still working in the fields?
I didn't say he was a rich king.
What's wrong with everyone? Why are you crying?
The Ammonites have besieged Jabesh, and there is no one to save them.
No one to save them? What about us?
What do you mean?
Can't the Lord conquer all our enemies? Quickly, take a message through all Israel.
A message?
Tell them they must follow Saul and Samuel into battle to save our brothers. The time of our oppression by these barbarians has ended.
Saul was going to lead them into battle. What made him so brave all of a sudden?
The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And when that happens, people can do things they can't do by themselves.
Did anyone join him?
They gathered like fleas on a junkyard dog. In less than a week, he had gathered more than 300,000 men. And he sent another message.
Tell the citizens of Jabesh that we will be there by noon tomorrow. Tell them to hold out until then.
And when the men of Jabesh got the message, they met with King Nahash again.
Well, I've waited long enough. Will you agree to my demands or will you be destroyed?
We will come out to meet you tomorrow at noon. Then you can do to us as you wish.
Excellent. You've made a very wise decision.
Yes. Well, we hope so.
The time has come. Men of Ammon, let us ride to the Israelites. This will be a proud day for our people. What is that?
What was it?
It was Saul and his army. Nahash was expecting a surrender. Instead, they met a surprise attack. Talk about the old bait and switch.
Forward, men! We will show them what happens when they attack God's chosen people of Israel.
Who won?
Oh, it was a great victory for Saul. The Bible says that the Ammonites were scattered so badly that no two of them were left together.
Wow.
And that was just the beginning. Saul and the army fought against all the enemies of Israel, and God gave them great victories.
I guess Saul knew he was the right man for the job then.
Yeah, well, he might have known that a little too well.
What do you mean?
Now, during these victories, something started happening to Saul.
Saul! Saul!
What is it, Abner?
Your son Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost in Geba. He has defeated them. The whole army is ready for war.
Take a message to the people.
Yes.
Tell them that Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost.
Sire?
Jonathan is my general. There's no need to confuse the people with details. Now is the time for war.
I guess being in the spotlight can give you a big head.
Yeah, I guess.
And he didn't just get arrogant with his people. He also disobeyed God's rules for sacrificing before battle. But God still gave him victory after victory. Finally, the only enemies left were the dreaded Amalekites.
Wait a minute. I thought they already beat them.
No, those were the dreaded Ammonites.
Oh, right.
Right. Anyway, Samuel came to Saul and told him,
"Listen now to a message from the Lord. You are to attack the Amalekites and destroy them, the evil king Agag, and everything that belongs to them."
"I will do as you say."
So Saul gathered his army, as always, and they did what God commanded them. Sort of.
Sort of?
Samuel, the Lord bless you on this glorious day.
Glorious, is it? What are those men doing?
They are setting up a monument.
A monument? To whom?
To me, for I have defeated the Amalekites and followed God's commands.
Oh, really? You have followed his commands?
Of course I have.
Then, what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle I hear? Did not God command you to destroy everything?
The army had the idea that we should keep the best of the sheep and cattle.
The army? Are you not the commander?
Yes, I am. But, you see, it was my idea to save the best of the sheep and cattle for a sacrifice to the Lord, a great sacrifice to thank him for my great victory.
The Lord told you to destroy everything. Show me the head of King Agag.
King Agag?
Yes.
Well...
You can't, for he lives.
Only to watch the sacrifice, to see the greatness of the Lord.
Oh, Saul, which do you think pleases the Lord more? A defiant sacrifice or an obedient heart? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And because of what you have done, the Lord has rejected you as king. You will lose your kingdom.
Whoa, tough break for Saul.
Yeah, I guess.
Did Saul apologize for what he did?
Yes, but sometimes saying I'm sorry isn't enough. There are still consequences. God told Samuel to anoint someone else as the next king.
What did Saul think of that?
He probably wouldn't have been too happy if he knew about it, but Samuel did it in secret. He anointed a young man named David.
David? Like David and Goliath?
This is long before Goliath. Anyway, Saul was suffering the consequences of what he had done.
I don't know what's happening, Abner. Should I go into battle or shouldn't I? I ask God what he wants me to do, but I never get an answer. I want one now.
Why don't you try sending for Samuel?
I have. Time and time again I send for him, but he ignores me. What am I going to do?
Hey, you remember when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him before?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Bible says that spirit was gone now. Worse than that, Saul now had an evil spirit. It didn't take him long to go from being depressed to being, well, a little crazy.
Where is my drink? Why can't you idiotic servants do your jobs?
Here it is, Your Royal Majesty. I do apologize. We were...
Quiet! I don't want to hear your brainless excuses. Hand it to me.
Yes, sire.
What is this?
Sire?
Is this the best that you incompetents can do for the King of Israel?
Well,
I'll have your heads! And this is the best food that is to be made for a king such as I?
Sire! Calm down.
You want me to calm down? Then do something with these wretched servants.
Music! Let's have music! It'll be soothing to you. Music!
Pardon me for speaking, Abner, but I have seen a young man, the son of Jesse, playing the harp. Not only is he a good musician, but he is a brave man and a warrior. The Lord is with him.
What is the son of Jesse's name?
David.
David? The same David?
The same David. But remember, Saul didn't know that David was anointed to be king yet. David came to his palace and played his harp.
O Lord, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing forever. Spread your protection over them. Surely, O Lord, you surround them with your favor like a shield.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, my king. Though the glory goes to God.
I like you, David. I want you to stay in my palace.
Who am I to deserve such a privilege?
And then comes David and Goliath.
This story isn't about David. It's about Saul.
But it's important because the Philistines were going to fight the Israelites. But instead of fighting, they had a giant named Goliath come out, and he said if anyone could kill him, the Philistines would surrender.
Yes, but I...
But no one wanted to until David said he would do it. And Saul tried to give him his armor, but David said it was too heavy.
Well, yes,
and used a slingshot instead and killed Goliath with just one stone.
Hey, who's telling this story, you or me?
You are.
Uh-huh, and don't you forget it. So, since you know this story, what happened after David killed Goliath?
I don't know.
Didn't think so. Well, there was another great victory. The Israelites defeated the Philistines because of David. So you can imagine how Saul felt when he was walking home and he heard the women of the town singing...
David with tens of thousands, and me with only thousands?
And it didn't take long for the wheels to start turning in Saul's head.
He has taken my glory from me. What more can he get but my kingdom as well? We'll see about that.
Now, Saul was convinced that David would try to take his kingdom away.
But he wasn't trying to, was he?
No, but Saul wasn't in his right mind. So, the next day, he called David in.
Yes, sire.
David, play something on your harp to soothe my mind. This headache threatens to drive me mad.
It is an honor, Majesty. I've written a few more lines. The Lord prepares a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will be with me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
David, you traitorous dog! I know your treachery.
Majesty, I...
The Lord anoints your head with oil? You think you will rule? It will take more than flowery words and music to steal my kingdom!
My king, believe me, I didn't...
Quiet! I'll pin you to the wall myself. Where's my spear? There! No.
He didn't kill David, did he?
Yeah, he tried to, but David was too quick. David escaped.
I still don't get it. Why was Saul so jealous?
David was everything that Saul used to be. Brave, strong, humble, and blessed by God. And to make matters worse, David rose through the ranks in the army and won victory after victory, just like Saul used to. Instead of appreciating David, Saul saw him as a rival.
What did he do about it?
Well, he decided that David was out to kill him and take his kingdom. So he went after David as a traitor. His son Jonathan tried to defend David, so Saul tried to kill him too. Meanwhile, David was on the run as an outlaw and surrounded himself with merry men and stole from the rich and gave to the poor.
He did what?
Just seeing if you were paying attention. Okay. Anyway, it was a real mess, and that's when things started to get pretty nasty. By this point, Saul was spending all his time chasing David. It was all he could think about. At one point, as he was searching the desert, he and his commander were leaving a cave.
No sign of him, Abner. We must continue searching north of here, my king.
You're tired and you haven't been sleeping well. Let's rest here for the night and continue in the morning.
We can't let that traitor get away from us. We must go now.
But as they were leaving, David showed up at the mouth of the cave behind them.
My lord, the king.
There he is. Bring him here.
You do not have to worry, my lord. I will come to you.
What is this trickery?
Oh, my exalted king. Why do you listen when men say that I am trying to harm you? This very day I had the opportunity to kill you with my own hands, but I spared you.
What?
Here is proof, your majesty. I was in the cave beside you, though you did not see me. I cut off this piece of your robe, even though others urged me to kill you.
That's ridiculous. That's not my robe. But it is. I don't understand.
You are God's chosen king. May he judge between us. My hand will never be raised against you. You have been hunting me, though I never meant you any harm. Now I am here. Do with me what you will.
Stand up, David.
My king?
You are more righteous than I. You have treated me better than any man could ask. And I have treated you worse than any man deserves. May the Lord reward you greatly for what you have done this day. Surely you will be king of Israel, and yours shall be the greatest of all kingdoms. Surely you are the focus of all of Israel's hopes.
Oh, sire.
I'm so sorry, my son.
Well, that wasn't the end of Saul's story, but do you get the point by now?
Yeah. Cut off the bad guy's head when God says to.
Exactly. Try again.
Don't throw spears at harpists?
Now you're just being silly. Didn't you notice any similarities between his story and your story?
Well, I guess Saul was really jealous of David.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of being jealous of Ashley.
Right. For a minute there, I thought I'd wasted a whole half hour.
But you don't really think I'm going to start throwing spears at Ashley, do you?
No, of course not. But that just shows you where jealousy leads. It gets worse and worse until it's the only thing you think about. It blinds you to the truth and makes you do some pretty crazy things.
Yeah, I guess. You know, that story didn't make me feel good at all.
No? Well, if you wanted a sappy, feel-good story, you asked the wrong guy. Besides, it's not supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to make you think. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta get back to peeling the gum off these tables.
And I'm going to go talk to Ashley. I'm gonna tell her congratulations and all the best. Bye, Mr. Walton.
Yeah, I'll see you, Trent. And some people think I'm too cheerful. Talk about sappy. Oh, boy.
Throughout the Bible, we see stories of how jealousy led people to do some terrible things. Cain killed his brother Abel. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Even the early Christian church was persecuted because the religious leaders were jealous of their success. You know, we need to listen to the words of Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives a long life, but jealousy rots the bones. Instead of envying what others have, we should focus on all the wonderful things that God has given to us. And that's something to be excited about. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Bernard and Saul was written by Nathan Hubler and directed by Bob Hoos. Our vocal talent included Dave Madden, Walker Edmiston, Gary Reed, Pat Fraley, Pete Renaday, and Corey Padnos. And our sound designer was Alan Hurley. And our producers were Marshall Younger and Bob Hoos. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.